Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the odds orchestrating oracle of Los Angeles, Matthew Henry. How you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing great. I am an odds orchestrating oracle. I like that.
That's right.
How it kind of ties into the Giants because the stadium, and then there's the oracle. Like, I can see the future. Probably better than Shohei's interpreter.
Shohei's interpreter could not see the future if it hit him in the face.
Apparently couldn't even see the past, his bio and all that.
Yeah, really just had it all messed up. Or at least that's one version of the story amongst the seven he's told.
But I do have the odds. The odds are in my favor. Forever in my favor.
The odds are ever in your favor. How you doing? How's life?
Life is good, man. It's finally had a nice weekend. I got to go on a walk with my daughter today out in the sun, which was, you know, her spring break. So it was good that I got her outside at least once.
That's true.
9 days.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, right.
That's enough. That's all you need to do for parenting.
Exactly. Yeah. I took her phone away for a while. You know, it was, she didn't have it during our walk, you know. Didn't look at it once.
I was going to say, oh, how long did you take it away for? For 20 minutes during your walk outside.
38 minutes. We walked 2 miles.
And it took us
38 minutes.
That's 38 more minutes than I took my phones away from my kids.
All right. I'm feeling better now. Feeling good. Parenting thing. Easy.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
So we've been announcing a lot of changes to the show recently.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things that has been the hallmark of this show for a long time is that it's a hobby, right? Like, you and I, we do this for fun. And like, we lose money. Well, you don't lose money. I lose money.
Yes, you're the sugar daddy.
That's right. I don't know. That doesn't feel right. I don't like that you just said that. But I'm sure. That's right. Sure. Just threw up a little bit in my mouth. All right. Okay. But anyway, the point is, you know, we do this for fun. It's a hobby. But like, we've always entertained the idea of maybe trying to take this a little bit more seriously on the professional side.
Yes.
Maybe get an advertiser or
yes.
a sponsor or even just somebody to, like, you know, send us a case of tequila that
right.
we would push on the show, right, as the best tequila ever, even if it wasn't.
Right.
Which we would do, by the way. We would call your tequila the best tequila ever, even if it wasn't. If you just sent us a case of it.
Bourbon, tequila. We're not picky.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Seriously. I mean, no Ouzo.
Only so many Ouzo cocktails you can make.
That's right. I don't know that there's any. Quite frankly, if there's anything I like less than Campari, it's Ouzo, Matthew. But anyway, I'm getting away. We're going down a tangent. The point is, we've made a change, right?
That's right.
That's right.
I've been excited about this. So I've been working hard behind the scenes and mm-hmm. I secured a sponsor.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
awesome.
And so I started looking at, like, what the other guys were doing, like what their sponsors were. And
there seems
to be a lot of interest among sports podcasters around online betting.
Yeah.
I secured a sponsor for Giant Cocktails. And we're going to read our first ad coming up here in a second.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's do it. Let's go.
All right. Now, I know you might be thinking that you know, off air, you were asking me, oh, is it FanDuel? And I was like, no.
So DraftKings then. It's DraftKings.
They were kind of, you know, both of them are tied up with other podcasts. Oh. And so I had to dig a little deeper, just a little deeper, but I think you'll be okay with it. I think you'll be okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm happy that we just have one. Yeah,
exactly. All right. And this is the ad copy they sent me. So, this is what they wrote. So I'm going to read it.
And you got to read it word for word because we're new and we can't really push back. I got it. No, it's fine. Let's do it. Yeah.
Here it goes. Hey, Giants fans. Ever thought to yourself, my sports watching could use a little more Jeopardy? Well, buckle up, because Matthew Boyer's Bookie Bonanza is here to turbocharge your viewing pleasure. No cash? No worries. At Matthew Boyer's Bookie Bonanza, we believe in the power of hopeful accounting. Who needs immediate payment when you've got a boatload of cash? In fact, we've recently acquired $4.5 million of adventure capital, ready to back your bravest bets against the boys in blue. Your first five bets? They're on us. Consider it a little thank you from your new favorite financial adventurers. But that's not all. Each bet comes with our exclusive guide, How to Invest Your Good Friend's Money. Learn to channel your winnings into something other than, well, let's call them questionable ventures. So what are you waiting for? Dive into the deep end with Matthew Boyer's Bookie Bonanza, where we're betting big on loyalty and a little bit of legal limbo. And remember, when you're betting against the Dodgers, it's more than a game. It's a lifestyle. Disclaimer, terms and conditions apply. All bets are more final than Pete Rose's Hall of Fame chances, but can be creatively financed if you're less than 6 degrees of separation from a billion-dollar buddy. Huh?
What do you think? Wow. That's amazing.
Yes. They sent it to me through, it was weird. I had to set up this anonymous email, and then it was I couldn't ever really speak to the guy, and it was kind of, there was this intermediary and then they said they were in California, but then they said they were, no, technically they were off the shores of California. So I'm a little vague on kind of all of that, but hey, they said that the payment's coming soon. So, I'm excited. Our first ad.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, I don't know you. I was not affiliated with this at all. I had no idea that you were doing this, and I am not affiliated with this in any way, shape, or form. In fact, you're not even my brother. And I regret to inform you can no longer be my intelligence interpreter. I'm just going to venture out there and talk to the rest of humanity by myself without you decoding everybody else's words for me.
Okay.
Well, anyway, today is Sunday, March 24th, as we record this podcast. The San Francisco Giants did some things during the... Oh, you know what happened? Here's what happened. We found Marco Luciano. We found him.
He was there the whole time. He was hidden. He was kind of down at the end of the dugout, right next to the water jug and the big thing of bazooka gum. I think he was hidden down there and we didn't see him.
Right. Oh, I thought maybe he might have just been in the in batting cages. Just really, really trying to find himself.
Maybe that's
so the rest of us could find him too. So that's one thing that happened this past week for the San Francisco Giants. Let's see what else. Oh, we learned that Blake Snell is not going to start with the Giants on opening day. I mean,
I told you, Ben. I mean, you said that he was going to be ready for opening day.
Right. That was me that said that. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was me that just to say he's ready.
See?
He's gonna pitch against the Padres because reasons. Because he used to be one. Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's like, oh no, I'm not gonna be ready for at least 2 weeks.
Apparently, pitching against JUCO guys isn't the same. Who knew?
No, I guess not. Turns out, if only somebody had said that.
Maybe you should have said that, Ben. That would have been helpful.
I think everybody listening to this show knew that too, Matthew. I think we all knew that. That pitching to JUCO players is not quite the same as pitching to professional baseball players, many of whom are at the major league level. So those are the things that happened for the San Francisco Giants. Oh, some other things that happened, though, in baseball overall. is that the baseball season started, right? So Major League Baseball had this great idea. What they thought was we would say, hey, let's take some of our star players, the team that we definitely like more than all of the other Major League teams, even though we should like them all equally, there's one team that we like more than all the others. Why don't we take them and another team from the same state, fly them to the other side of the world, and then have them play at a time that is the most inconvenient for their fan bases? So that's what they did. They flew them over there, and they played two baseball games. So the Padres and the Dodgers have started their seasons. They went 1-1, which is, I think, the ideal outcome for us Giants fans, although I think we all would have accepted 0-2 for the Dodgers, which was one Cronenworth glove away from happening.
That's right.
Dude, take care of your leather. Like, opening day? Really? What the F, bro? Like, what the F? That's one in the loss column for the Friars, because you have been playing with the same glove since you were 11 years old. Whatever. Okay. But it turns out, Matthew, there was a bigger piece of news.
There was?
Right? Yeah.
Bigger than Cronenworth's glove breaking? Shocking.
Yeah. So I don't know if I need to rehash this because it's super complicated and I'm not sure anybody understands what the heck happened. But I think it is related to that ad that we ran earlier.
Oh, yeah.
which I do want to just say right now was definitely a work of fiction and for humorous effect.
We did not receive any money from any illegal
We did
bookings.
Not receive any money from Mr. Boyer or anybody else involved.
They didn't even give us free booze. I mean, we got nothing.
No, we didn't get anything. But anyway, so Shohei Ohtani's interpreter confessed on Tuesday, or whatever. It's really confusing because all of these confessions were happening in Korea, where the date was different than what it was in California, you know, because of the international timeline and the sun and the fact that the planet is most definitely round. And I guess what happened was the interpreter, Ohtani's camp was confronted with news by ESPN that Ohtani had paid a bookie $1 million with two wire transfers from his account, Shohei Ohtani's account, to the illegal bookmaker based in Orange County. And when confronted with this, the Ohtani camp presented Ipe Mizuhara, is that how you say his name?
Sure.
Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter. And the interpreter confessed that he had made some bets with this bookie and had gotten himself $4.5 million in the hole, and then had asked Shohei Ohtani to help him pay these debts back. And Ohtani agreed and proceeded to make $1 million in two separate wire transfers from his own bank account to the account of said bookie. And the interpreter made this statement to ESPN. And then the camp contacted the ESPN reporter back and said, hey, that's not what happened. We need to change the story. So the interpreter came back and spoke to the reporter and said, I made all that up. I made the payments. It was all me. Shohei never knew anything. And since then, it's just been a whole lot of like, what is going on? And a lot of people are like, did Shohei bet on baseball? Did Shohei bet on baseball? And everybody's like losing their minds over whether or not Shohei Ohtani bet on baseball. But Matthew, I'm here to tell you, this is really bad. This is really, that first statement that the interpreter made was so bad because he implicated Shohei Ohtani in at least four felonies with that one statement, which is why I think Ohtani's camp came back and said, like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Ohtani committed four felonies. I want to be very clear. I don't know who did what. But what I'm saying is that first statement by the interpreter could have implicated Ohtani in as many four felonies.
Well, what are those felonies?
Well, I will explain that. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of people are like, Ohtani's bet on baseball. And like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Ohtani bet on baseball. If that first story that Ipe Mizuhara gave is true, he went to Ohtani and he said, I'm $4.5 million in the hole. I need you to help me pay these debts back. And Ohtani was like, okay, I will, but I'm not going to give the money to you. I'm going to make the payments myself to the bookie because I don't want you to take this money and make more bets because I'm a good guy and I care about you. Well, here's the problem. Ipe was using a California bookie. Sports betting in California is illegal, okay, in the state of California. So that is a state crime, a felony. However, in all of the United States, making bets on credit with an unlicensed bookie is also a felony. It's a federal offense. Wow. Okay, so even though betting might be legal in 40, sports betting might be legal in 40 states, it's not legal to make bets on credit with an unlicensed bookie anywhere. So Ipe, if he had been doing this, was admitting to making, not only violating state law, but also federal law. And then he was asking his buddy, Shohei, to help him out. If Shohei, in fact, did what he said he did, well, the first crime that he might have committed was money laundering. Now, again, I'm not saying he did, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a law enforcement attorney, not law enforcement member, but this would be a charge that he could be susceptible, based on my understanding, because he was trying to hide dirty money between Ipe and his bookie by using his own clean money. So money laundering could be a crime. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that when he made these payments, the bank requires that you put in a reason. And Ipe told him that his bookie said he should write loan in there, which was most definitely a lie. Okay. Well, there's this crime called wire fraud. And this is exactly the sort of thing that it's for. They were wiring money and they lied about the reason for wiring the money. Sheesh. So that's called wire fraud. Okay. Then, despite all of the fact that all of these things were illegal, Shohei Ohtani was paying a debt on Ipe's behalf. And he did not expect Ipe to pay him back. Although there is a little bit of dispute because Ipe said he would or whatever. So, in that sense, it was a gift of $1 million. And when you as a super rich person give people large gifts, you as the rich person, the gift giver, you have to pay taxes on that. And I know it's not April yet, so maybe this is not a big deal, but I believe you have to declare this as soon as you make the gift or within a reasonable time after making the gift. So it could be tax evasion on Shohei's part if he in fact did any of these things. So tax evasion. And then he and Ipe agreed and had conversations and then together went through this transaction at the computer, according to Ipe's original story, which is a conspiracy because they did it in agreement with each other. All of those are crimes that Ipe implicated Ohtani in with that first stupid story he told. Now, I don't know if that story was true or false, but it was definitely a story that could have implicated Shohei Ohtani in a number of federal crimes.
Shohei going to jail.
Yeah.
Shohei is going to be playing for the San Quentin Giants.
San Quentin Giants?
I think that's actually their name. They have a prison baseball team.
There's a prison baseball team called the San Quentin Giants. Well, that would be just desserts, I think.
It would be.
If he, in fact, committed a crime. But we don't know that he did. Because immediately, smarter people in the room were like, homie said what? But what I love about this whole thing, Matthew, is right now the big story is, that Shohei Ohtani had no idea what was going on. And everybody got their wires crossed when communicating with Shohei, because everybody in Shohei's camp, not a single one of them speaks Japanese, Matthew, apparently. Only one person in the entire Shohei Ohtani universe spoke both English and Japanese, and that was
Ipe,
the evil gambling interpreter. And they were relying on him to do all the interpretation when they were talking to him about his evil, lying interpreter. The Los Angeles Dodgers apparently relied on no other interpreter, or were so to believe. CAA, his agent, relied on no other interpreter, or were so to believe. That is the current story, is that Shohei Ohtani had no idea what Ipe was saying until after the first game of the season, well after the story was breaking. He had no idea.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani had no idea that the story was breaking while it was breaking, because the only person who was reading the story was the guy who was responsible for the story, or were so to believe. Yeah, I don't know,
reports,
Matthew.
There was reports that Shohei did not know what was going on until Ipe addressed the Dodgers clubhouse after game one that a story was about to break out.
That's right.
That was very first time that we're led to believe that Shohei knew something was going on.
That's right. Mookie and Freddie found out at the same time as Shohei.
The best part about this is, Ben?
Yeah,
Is that it's for the Dodgers.
It's right. It's right. It's happening to the Dodgers. It's not happening to the Giants. And, I listened to some Locked On Giants podcast because I just wanted to see how things were going over there.
Locked On Dodgers.
Sorry, Locked On Dodgers. Yes, Locked On Dodgers. Because I just wanted to see how things were going over there. And they were, I haven't listened I've listened to the two shows they've had since then. And they're still in the early stages of grief. They're in denial and anger right now. They really hate Astro fans, I got to tell you. They really hate Astro fans, and they have referred to Astro fans quite a bit without saying the word Astros once during those podcasts. But here's the thing. I don't want to rain on their parade, because, like, look, first of all, if Shohei did these things, he did them before he was a Dodger, right? Like, but here's also the thing, Matthew. This is ultimately not bad for the Dodgers. This is actually bad for the Giants.
How is it bad for the Giants?
Well, you know, that's my role in the show, Matthew, is to be major buzzkill, right?
Yeah, like, yes. Like, so that's why I'm asking. How is this bad for the Giants, major buzzkill?
Right. Because I know a lot of Giants fans out there, like, either I don't care, or, you know, like, I feel a little bit bad for Dodger fans, but not really, because obviously. And then there's a lot of them out there that are like, ha, 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 ha.
I might be in that camp.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's the thing. Let me walk you through the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is that this all blows back on Shohei really badly. Really badly. And that's bad for baseball. Bad for all baseball fans. But let's say Shohei has to stop playing because either he's dealing with legal troubles, possibly goes to jail. And again, I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he's guilty of anything. But based on that first story that his interpreter gave, you know, he could have been. So he could be arrested. He could go to jail, right? Or he could be in violation of baseball's rule number 21, which says you can't associate with bookies knowingly. Mm-hmm. And if he did send these payments, he knowingly did, right? A bit the way that Ipe told the story originally. So he could be suspended. Well, so do you know what that would allow the Dodgers to do, Matthew?
Yes. Void that billion-dollar contract.
Void the billion-dollar contract. That's right. They would get all that money that they had promised to Shohei Ohtani back, and they could probably even get the few amounts of dollars he's already received back.
Mm-hmm. And they could give it to Mitch Haniger.
Nope. They could give it to Juan Soto next year. And I'm not saying, look, I'm not claiming that the Giants were going to sign Soto, because we all know they weren't. Like, you don't know that, because that's your role on the show. You're supposed to believe that one day Lucy's going to let Charlie Brown kick the ball. Right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
And Farhan Zaidi is Charlie Brown in this case, and Lucy is the universe. Okay. That one day the universe is going to let Farhan Zaidi sign the big fish. But I know he will never sign the big fish. And the big fish next year is Juan Soto. But here's the problem. Instead of him going to the Red Sox or the Yankees or wherever the heck he was going to go, now he's going to L.A. And that's how this stupid Shohei Ohtani BS situation will end up blowing up in Giants fans' faces.
All right. So the Giants have to win the World Series this year. Got it.
Yes. That's right. Yes. If they do that every year, I won't care who Soto signs with.
That's true. All right. Well, you know, this is all fascinating. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time already talking about it. I'm sure there'll be lots of other stuff coming up. But we are a Giants podcast, and I feel like we should get on with the show, including today's trivia question, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you may recall, the Giants have signed two past Cy Young Award winners in Blake Snell and Robbie Ray this year. When was the last time the Giants had two former Cy Young winners in their rotation, and who were they?
It was 1903. Now, I know some of you are going to, like, some of you were thinking, like, you're asking yourself, when did Cy Young play? Stop it.
Like 1880, right?
Yeah. It was before 1903 in Ben's universe. And it was Christy Mathewson and old tungsten arm Tatum Magoo. Tatum, tungsten arm Magoo, and Christy Mathewson.
Yeah.
Cy Young Award winners.
All right. Well, I think those are plausible answers.
Yeah. They're totally plausible.
We'll find out how plausible at the end of the episode.
Not at all plausible.
Isn't it time for the booze, boys?
That's right.
Yeah.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Well, Bob, even though we've had the last Happy Hour show, and for those of you who don't know, Happy Hour, the podcast show that normally goes on Thursdays, is moving to a new show, which hasn't launched yet, and we will let you know when that happens, but it is now on hiatus. But we had our last episode of it here on the Giant Cocktails podcast on Thursday. And since it was the last one, I brought three cocktails. So, Bob, today I am drinking the Banana Republic, the Sweet Goodbye number one, and the Sweet Goodbye number two. I am only going to tell you the ingredients that are in the Sweet Goodbye number two. If you want to know the ingredients for the other two cocktails, you can go to listen to last Thursday's show. The Sweet Goodbye number two has 1 ounce of overproof rum, 1 ounce of tawny port, half an ounce of creme de cacao, and half an ounce of Mr. Black cold brew coffee liqueur. Take all of those ingredients in a shaker with ice, shake until chilled, and then double strain it into a Nick and Nora glass, and that is how you make the Sweet Goodbye number two. And that's what I'm drinking, Bob.
Mmm, that's a tasty cocktail. What are you drinking, Matthew?
Bob, I also prepared a cocktail for our final happy hour on this podcast called Mixed Feelings. And my idea was to take two very, controversial liqueurs and spirits and try and tie them together, because that's what creates mixed feelings. And so I have 3/4 ounces of Campari, 3/4 ounces of absinthe, 3/4 ounces of elderflower liqueur, 3/4 ounces of lemon juice, 3/4 ounces of mandarin orange juice, 3/4 ounces of pineapple gum syrup, in my case, or simple syrup if you don't have that, and 2 to 3 ounces of club soda. So you put all the ingredients but club soda into a shaker with ice. You're going to shake it until well chilled, strain it into a Collins glass and with ice, and you're going to strain that in there and then top it off with the club soda, and you get this refreshing, bitter and licorice flavor, sweet, refreshing spritz that is also really cool orange color. Just like our favorite baseball team. So that's what I'm drinking today. Mixed feelings.
Mmm. That's a tasty cocktail.
It is, Bob. It is a good cocktail to end our third season as we go into season 4.
That's right. We are ending our season. Our new season starts on opening day. We always start our new seasons on opening day. Which means, Matthew, it's the end of the Giants offseason. We are only, today is Sunday. It'll be Monday when everybody listens to this podcast. And then after Monday, it is 3 days until Thursday. And Thursday is the first day of baseball.
Woo-hoo.
It's practically here. So I thought, that maybe it's time for us to finally give final grades. Now, we talked about this all the way at the beginning of spring training. We did put a caveat in there saying nothing, it wasn't done yet. And boy, was that true. So I thought today, Matthew, we could give our final off-season grades and talk about what the Giants did in the off-season and how we feel about it. Like, you know, maybe give some grades.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah. Okay. Shall I go first?
Yeah, I think you should go first because, you know, you're the optimist and, you know, we want to sweeten people up before we drop the truth bombs on them.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that I think that the Giants off-season grade should be an A+.
An A plus. An A plus.
It doesn't get any better than this, folks.
No, it doesn't.
They were never going to get Yamamoto or Ohtani. And now that we know, like, oh, Yamamoto got blown up in his first start. Ohtani is going to jail. So it's a good thing that we didn't get either of those. So I think they had a lot of holes to fill. They had a lot of question marks. And by last week, they were able to basically answer all of them. And I feel like Farhan deserves some credit for that. And I'm excited about how this team has come together. And so I think you have to be honest and say that this offseason was as good as it gets and better than any offseason in recent memory. Because they had a lot of question marks, and like I said, they addressed all of them with not just like serviceable parts like we've seen in the past, but with bona fide good baseball players that absolutely make this team better. And so, you know, I think a couple of examples of that, Ben, two players that I'm really excited to see and see how they gel. One of them was not an offseason acquisition in Kyle Harrison, but it's now like he is the top left-handed prospect in all of baseball. He had his cup of coffee last year. He pitched well most of the time. He had some ups and downs, as rookies do. But I feel like this is the year, Ben. This is the year where he puts it together. This is the year where he maybe even warrants some rookie of the year talk by the end of the year. I think he's going to be a really good addition to our rotation. And so I'm excited about that. I really can't wait to see that. There were some watching him this weekend. There were some nasty, nasty sliders that he was throwing to especially the left-handers that just had no chance. And it was, if he can get consistent with that pitch, oh man, it's lights out. And then the other guy is Jung Hoo Lee. He's cooler than the other side of the pillow. I mean, I love watching him run around. I love that his hat never stays on his head. I love that he makes contact and he's always running hard. And I just feel like he gives this energy to the team that frankly, I haven't seen in a long time. Maybe a little hint of that last year with the rookies, like maybe when Casey Schmidt and them were running around and, you know, we saw a little bit of jolt there when they got brought up. But I just feel like this guy is on a whole other level and I think he's going to be fun to watch. And I think that's what we've been clamoring for the last couple of years, is that this team has been boring and bad. And now we've got better players who aren't boring, who are exciting. And so I'm excited about the season. So A+ for me, Ben. What about you?
Well, okay. Look. So first of all, I'm going to agree with you on Jung Hoo Lee. I think he is the real deal, and I think a lot of people believe that he is going to struggle early in the season, and I guess if he does, like, you know, I mean, people predicted it, and it won't be a huge surprise. But I don't believe that. I think I see the way this guy plays the game and the way he approaches the game. And I think that he is going to be good from day one. So I will definitely grant you that. Like, you know, there were a lot of questions around him, and I think some of those questions and marks still remain and cannot be removed until he does it in real games. But to me, he looks like the real deal. So they got this one right. Okay. I also agree with you that I'm very excited about Kyle Harrison. You heard me talk a lot during the offseason about how I wanted the young pitchers to be able to perform, because this is supposed to be the strength of our farm system, that you can't really allow, they don't become major league stars until you let them play in the major leagues, right? And there was this real, strong affinity for, everybody to be like, we don't want to let them play. We're too scared to let them play. And I thought that was just the totally wrong attitude. And I think Kyle Harrison is the very tip of that. But I also feel like there are guys who are coming, and there are so many of them. There are more than you can possibly wrap your head around. And the cool thing about that is that, a lot of them won't stick. A lot of them won't make it. But some of them will. And honestly, you only need one or two, right? You only need one or two more guys besides Kyle Harrison to stick, and suddenly you have Lincecum, Kane, and Bumgarner, right? That's how it happens. It only takes two or three guys to create a World Series winning organization. So I'm very excited about Kyle Harrison. But I'm looking at your grade, and, it's typical Matthew. This is a typical Matthew grade. Farhan, he's so smart and he's so savvy and he just always does good things and of course.
Say always, but in this case he did.
Well, whatever. A plus. And Matthew, I 100% agree.
Oh, yes. Yes. I was ready to, I had look, my arguments. I was ready. But tell me why you agree.
Well, okay. Look, I'm surprised. I'm as surprised as anybody.
He actually looks okay. Surprised, folks.
What I am is I'm like that dad at the track meet, and his kid's running track because he's not good enough to make any other sport, And they don't cut kids in track and field, right?
They don't. Yep.
And I'm there, and I'm at that first meet, and I'm sitting in the stands, and my wife's shaking me on the shoulder, hey, he's running. And I look up, and they shoot the gun off. And the kid's all the way across the track. They're running this 200 yards or whatever?
Meters, yeah. But yeah, okay.
Whatever. Potato, tomato. And he's running. And I can't see that far, so I don't really know what place he's in. But then they come around the curve, and then suddenly there he is. My little potato head, little Farhan, he's out in front. And he's just, I can't believe it. The kid has never done anything athletic in his whole life. He's never done a single good thing, and he's just been a disappointment to me, Matthew. He's been a disappointment to me for 14 years, and then suddenly there he is, and everybody's standing and cheering because, it's parents at a track meet, and I'm just sitting there dumbfounded. That was my kid with his glasses and his little bald head. He weirdly looks like he's a middle-aged man, and he just won the Frost-Soft 200 meters at this dual meet against other kids. There were other kids in the race, Matthew.
like 29.
And he beat them. My little Farhan. And I cannot believe it. I cannot believe what has happened this offseason. This is the first roster that I think Giants fans can look at that was constructed and built by the front office. And I think 7-8 years that you could even reasonably be excited about. I will, and I'm intentionally saying that, even though I know that 2022 existed, right? But the only reason that we were excited about 2022 is because 2021 happened. And 2021 was a fluke. It was a whole bunch of old guys having career years, and then Darren Ruff proving that we are not the primary timeline, right? Yeah. We are not the primary timeline because Darren Ruff did what he did in 2021. And so that's the only reason we were excited about 2022. And this is the first good roster that he has built in his entire reign as a San Francisco Giants. It's better than anything they put on the field the previous four seasons before that. This is it. Okay, so not only is this the best Giants roster that they put out there in a long time, but it's also got exciting and interesting players. It's got young players like Kyle Harrison. It's got exciting players like Jung-Hoo Lee. So it's got, and not only that, it's got established, healthy, elite players who are performing at the top of their game. And we signed those guys. And those are the two names that two of those guys are the two names that I am most excited about. Each one of these dudes are forcing me to drink a Negroni. And I made that bet with you, Matthew, because I didn't believe that Farhan could do it. And not only that, Matthew, Farhan did it, but he did it his way. You know, like the little bugger, as he was running down the 100-meter straightaway, turned his head, looked me straight in the eyes, and said, "What are you going to do now, Dad? Who's the loser now?" And like, you know, because he did it his way. He beat Scott Boras twice. Got great players at an incredible deal. And they're great players that fit the buildup of this team, because he got Matt Chapman, an absolute elite defender, right? He knew that this is a guy that can maximize an area where we were poor the last couple of years, where we can lean into our young pitching, we can improve our defense, get a guy who is absolutely one of the best defenders in baseball, who has upside on the offensive side, right?
Yeah.
In Chapman. And I am way more excited about Chapman than I was about any of the other free agents that were available. Everybody wanted Bellinger, or they wanted, you know, they wanted Snell more than they wanted Chapman, because they wanted a guy who was a dominant pitcher or a dominant hitter. Nobody likes defense. But I wanted Chapman because of his defense. And I think, and we've watched Chapman play, and how long has he been a Giant? Like 2.5 weeks. And it's just like, you know, amazing. Yeah. I think today was the first time we saw him do anything weird.
I mean, when you watch him field a ball in the hole or, you know, some kind of weird angle, it's just, it really highlights how elite he is as a defender and how much better he is than anything that we've seen in recent memory at third base for the Giants. It's just, it's not even close.
I think he's the all-around best position player that the Giants have now. And it's mostly because of his glove. You know, but the thing is, he's also hit for some power, right? We can see that he does have power. And it turns out his stats, they work really well at Oracle, right? Like, if he had played his whole career there, he would have more home runs.
Yeah, which is weird.
Is bizarro, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure.
Talking about it. You know, Oracle can be fair to right-handed hitters, down the line and to straightaway center now that the bullpens are moved in.
That's absolutely right.
So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing up now that we've got a player that can take advantage of that.
Right. And so then I thought we were done. I thought it was all over.
You were only going to drink one Negroni.
I was only going to drink one Negroni, and I was like, okay, that's fine. And then boom.
You're having dinner, and you get a text from me saying, hey, you got to drink a Negroni.
And this was such a stunner. I think Farhan Zaidi was surprised. I think he couldn't believe it. He was like, I can't believe this happened. You know, like after he crossed the finish line, he turned to me, he looked at me, and he lifted his hands in the air and he shrugs and he mouthed at me, I don't know. And he says, I guess I'm fast. Right? And like now we've got the reigning Cy Young Award winner pitching back to back eventually with the second best, the runner-up in the Cy Young Award winners. I mean, we all believe that Logan's a better pitcher, and as we should, because we're all homers. And yeah. But you know what? I mean, now, and then you've created this situation where you have this rotation, Matthew, that tastes really good at the beginning. It's like a cocktail that has been built with ice that is meant to continue to dilute over time as you sip the cocktail, and the cocktail evolves. That's the San Francisco Giants 2024 rotation, right? The ice is going to melt. And the rotation is going to evolve over time as Alex Cobb gets healthy and comes back, as Robbie Ray gets healthy and comes back. And we have two Cy Young Award winners with three awards between the two of them on our staff alongside Webb and Cobb, who we've seen do it, and now have one of the best rotations in baseball. This team is one of the best teams in the National League, right? And now I think as fans, we should all have the expectations that the players put it all together and go do what we expect them to do. And, like, I hope that Zaidi continues to tinker and make the roster better as needed for the rest of the season goes on, but he's done his job. So I'm a Farhan Zaidi hater, but I cannot deny what he has done this offseason. To me, this looks like a great team. Now, they got to go do it.
But that's not, I mean, Farhan's job is to put that team out on the
right.
On
he's,
there, and he
he's
did.
He's done the best job he can, and I got to tell you, I didn't believe he had it in him. But you know what? I was wrong. My kid Farhan might be a good track and field runner. He might be. You know, we'll find out. And, you know, because it's not just, but I do want to mention, you know, like as you mentioned, like one of the things that was supposed to get better, that we wanted this team to get better at, was not just winning, but we really, we understood what Farhan was trying to do, because it worked in 2021, and he kept trying to do it, and it just kept not working for the last two seasons. But he was trying to, like, it was arbitrage, right? It was,
yeah, he was trying to put together a team that was competitive while he was waiting for the supposed farm system to produce and all of that. And he was hitting, you know, missing as much as he was hitting on some of these players. So,
yeah. And it was
And it didn't matter whether they were exciting or not. It was like, no, there's a, this person has a war, a weighted runs created plus that could really help the team, you know, and it didn't matter if they were excited or not.
My God, this guy pitches left-handed, you know, slurves like no other, and we're going to face two left-handed slurve hitters over the next 3 weeks, so we got to get him, you know, whatever. Whatever. You know, with him and stepdad Gabe Kapler, it was just like, you know, it was boring. It was mechanical. And suddenly now we've got Jung-Hoo Lee, we've got Kyle Harrison, we've got Snell, we've got Chapman, we've got Soler, we've got Jordan Hicks. These guys are not boring, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, Soler, we haven't really talked a lot about him, but I think it's going to be fun to have a guy that can on one swing, you know, hit the Coke bottle. You know, I just think that there's some, that's exciting, right? I mean, it's a guy that can change a game in one swing, and we haven't had that in a while. So that's exciting.
Right. Well, I will say this. We haven't had that this spring either, because he didn't hit a single home run yet. But but that doesn't mean he's not going to, because spring stats don't matter.
That's right.
That's also that's why right. We're not talking about Logan Webb again. That game, Logan's last game. Oh, man. You know, they did that thing.
He had a do-over, though, and then he did all right after that.
He had a do-over, but then he gave up two home runs, right? Like, he was good. Yeah, he was bad.
Well, he did
they
say
took
though,
him out
that
he had
told
in.
One of the guys that had a home run. He had told him he was going to give him a fastball like before the game.
And, okay.
And so I think he said that he would definitely not put that pitch to that guy in a regular season game. So
right. Okay. Because so that guy needed help. Okay.
Then speaking of pitching though, I think you know Jordan Hicks and his 100-mile-per-hour fastball or 103 or whatever it is. Yeah, I think that he's pitched really well this spring, and I had my doubts. I was dubious that this experiment would work, but after
I was
seeing
certain it wasn't going to work. I was certain it wasn't going to work.
And now, not so certain, are you? I mean, he did really well.
No, I mean, it could still fail. This could all still blow up in everybody's face. Don't get me wrong. But like, you know, on paper, this looks really good. And I think even with what we've seen from some of these guys, like I'm excited to watch Hicks pitch.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm very intrigued to see his first start of the season and see how he does. Right. And that is not something that I think we could say was true the last few years.
No, you weren't excited to see DeSclafani pitch?
Not really. No.
No, you weren't being like, oh man, Dave Sclafani's pitching today. I got to go see that.
Yeah, no. Like, he wouldn't even use his good nickname. He'd use his bad nickname. And, like, you know, I just, nobody can call me Disco. That's weird. Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm T-Bone. Okay. Okay, T-Bone. And then he was T-Bone because they teed off on him. That's not true. That's not true. What really happened is he got hurt and then he stayed hurt. But no, I was not. I mean, I'm excited about Hicks because of that, because of, you know, the speed and that split finger and just, you know, yeah. I mean, because of those things, right? And the defense that's hitting behind him. And this is a way more exciting team. This is a team you want to watch. Like, you want to see all of Junghoo's at bats. You want to see Kyle Harrison start. You want to see Hicks's start. You know, you want to see Logan Webb start. You want to see balls hit to Chapman. You can't wait for Snell to finally show up. You know, and you're a little bit worried that Tom Murphy's going to steal Patrick Bailey's starts, you know, because Murphy can hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not so sure about Patty Bales. He's got some stuff to prove to me.
Yeah, he does. He does. All right. Well, you know, we're way deep into this this episode here, and we still wanted to talk about one other thing.
Yes.
Which the Giants announced, speaking of excitement, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Giants announced this last week.
Oh, yeah.
Via a really colorful Twitter video. Mm-hmm. That they've made some changes to the ballpark experience.
That's right.
The video that we saw was all the stadium lights being strobe lights and flashing and LED, yeah, kind of like changing colors.
Yeah,
and
it's like an NBA game kind of experience, but outside, which is cool. I mean,
that,
like,
cool.
you go to these things not just to watch, you know, arbitrage players who's are going to be on or on 1 year contracts to play, but you also go to see a show, to be entertained. And, like, you know, the Giants were out there still doing dot races. Okay, it was like the little speedboat races, you know, playing the same two Journey songs and serving you cold garlic fries. And they'll be like, yeah, isn't this a great time? And you just like, no. It was,
no,
I mean,
not.
It was all right in 2002. But you know, it's gotten a little old. And so now they have, yeah. They've got new stuff, right? New stuff to make it fun and exciting. Lights and sound.
The sound one was interesting because, I mean, they announced it like the day after they let Rennell go. And then they made a point of talking about how you'll be able to hear the PA announcer better.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh, too soon, Giants, too soon. I swear sometimes they're so tone deaf.
They are tone deaf, and we did talk about that. I mean, like, there's a lot of, yes. I think, you know, we'll just take the wins for right now, but, like,
yeah.
I mean, like, this is the first time, like, we said this team was boring on the roster, and it was boring in the ballpark experience. And, you know, I think we were echoing what fans were saying. We were echoing what the media was saying. Like, everybody was saying the same thing. And it looks like they finally heard us and they made some changes. But most importantly, Matthew, they've got new cocktails coming.
Oh, that is most important.
And
yes.
And so, yeah, I'm planning on buying a ticket early in the season.
And that's a departure from seasons gone past.
It is. And the reason I said was because this is a boring team that I don't think can win and I'm not interested in it. Well, that's not true anymore.
Yeah.
It's not
true
anymore.
I think you and I might need to find our way to Oracle the first weekend of the homestand there.
I got to get me my bobblehead of my favorite player. So I guess we're going on Saturday. and then I'm going to scope out all the new drinks. They've got the orange splash, which I think I'm recreating here.
Yeah. Yeah, and, definitely. For opening day, I think we need to see a giant cocktail.
And Matthew. Sure. That's right. But I'm also excited about the new F*** You chicken.
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I'm certain it is.
Yeah. Can you say it for me?
Yeah. F*** You chicken.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. It's the F*** You chicken.
It is the F*** You chicken.
All right. So if I go up and order F*** You chicken, I'm not going to get thrown out of the ballpark.
Oh, no, they'll give you the F*** You chicken.
They're going to think, okay, good, because I'm really looking for, I do want some F*** You chicken. And so I just wanted to make sure because, you know, I don't want to get, like, I didn't name it.
You know, I didn't name it. It's, you know, clearly says "fuck you, chicken."
All right, all right. That, so okay. Well, I guess we'll find out when we're ordering that.
I'll let you go first.
Of course you will.
I'll go order the drinks. You go order the "fuck you, chicken."
That sounds like a trick. You're gonna get two drinks, and I'm gonna end up out on the street. How that's gonna work out? Well, I am excited.
There is going to be good food, and I know that you mentioned that they had they changed over the vendors or the company that does all of the food.
Yeah, I think I heard that, but I can't find a quote. So I think I heard somebody say that either on a different show, or maybe I saw it on. I saw a news piece by NBC that was talking to their head of marketing. And unfortunately, I don't have the quote in front of me, but yeah, they changed like the main people running the food. And
if you're listening, okay, then make sure the new guys know how to keep fries warm. Okay. That's right. It's a low bar. It's a low bar, but, you know, cold garlic fries got to be a thing of the past.
That's right. Or just make sure you don't serve cold garlic fries to us. And we look like middle-aged men. You're welcome, Giants listeners.
Anything else that you'd like to see?
Anything I would like to see?
I had a couple ideas. Okay. I feel like they should have, like, I really like the freeze that they do. What is it, in Atlanta? Is that where they do it?
He does it. Yeah, the freeze is in Atlanta. Yeah.
Where they have the guy in the sprint suit that, like, yeah, you know, gives some Joe Schmo a head start.
And Joe Schmo rarely wins. Yeah.
Yes. But I have this fantasy that I'd get chosen and then I'd actually beat the freeze. And
maybe 20 years ago, buddy. But
they would give me a good enough head start because I look slow. And I think that I could be deceivingly fast.
That's,
I think I could do this.
Maybe true.
So I'm not going to say that I'm faster than the freeze. There's no way, but I think I could game the system. I think I could win by just looking slow.
Right.
And so that one, I also feel like with this new lasers, I thought maybe they could like have a lasers of a player running the bases and you could race the lasers. Like you could run around the bases.
Or dot racing, but with dots on the field.
On the field. Yeah. Around the bases. And so I think that would be cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay. I have an idea then.
Okay.
I want little children, just like I described, running foot races on the track, but they have to be children, and they're all wearing masks of former and current managers and front office people. So I want a little Farhan and a little Bob Melvin and a little Larry Bear.
Gabe Kapler?
A Gabe Kapler, maybe a Dusty Baker,
the poor guy that's got a Bochy head.
That's right. That little giant Bochy head. you know, McGowan on there. You know, just all kinds of like just old timers that were like executives and front office guys. And I want those little kids to just run their hearts out. And you know, just like the sausage races, but in Milwaukee, or the president's races in Washington, D.C., but ours would be, you know, forever giant executives and managers on the heads of small children, and we would all take extreme joy whenever the children fell down.
Extreme joy. I'm smiling.
Well, okay. Okay, so some of us, you don't have to take joy in it if you don't want to, listener, but Ben will be taking extreme joy in it, okay?
Oh, laughing our asses off.
Yes. I'll be like, ha-ha, little Farhan fell down. I knew it.
All right. Well, so the ballpark experience, the team is exciting. Looking forward to 2024 season 4 of Giant Cocktails. Should be an exciting one, I think.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, I think it's time for us to answer today's trivia question.
Let's do it. It's Christy Mathewson and, oh snap,
Tungsten Arm McGlon.
Tatum Tungsten Arm Magoo.
I think.
I think it was Magoo. Yeah, no, it's Magoo. I'm confident. Tungsten Arm Magoo.
Okay, well, good old Tungsten Arm and Christy Matheson, no. The answer, well, the question was, I should remind you, was when was the last time the Giants had two former Cy Young winners in their rotation, and who were they? Well, folks, the last time was 2015, and it was Tim Lincecum and Jake Peavy. I think people forget that Jake Peavy was a Cy Young winner.
I do. They do forget. I didn't forget. I did answer that.
No, you didn't. You I was impressed. You thought it through and came up with the answer before we went on to air, and then you decided to go with Tungsten Arm Magoo anyway. But
well, I don't like to actually give the right answer because
so it kind of defeats the purpose.
For the listeners.
All right. So that is the answer. I was actually pretty proud of that one and a little surprising. I think that it wasn't that long ago that we had two Cy Young winners in the rotation.
Yeah.
And if you go back a season or two earlier, it was Tim Lincecum and Barry Zito.
Right.
So it happened with it back to back almost. So.
Right. Right. Well, and I will say this. Cy Young played until 1911. Christy Mathewson was a contemporary of his, but didn't really. Well, I mean, I don't know. He was 30-13 with a 2.26 ERA in 1903. But that would probably be 1902 was really when, 1902 he was, I think his really first, Christy was always good. Christy was always good, but Cy Young was still being Cy Young when Christy was pitching, so he couldn't have won the Cy Young Award.
Right, yeah.
Tatum Tungsten Arm Magoo played for 45 seasons and won the Cy Young Award 30 times.
Oh, as a total aside, I was like, that just kind of reminds me of like, I thought you were going to say like Terry Mulholland, I think that guy like pitched for like 25 years and had a losing record for his career, which I think is kind of funny that you could pitch that long and be under 500 for your career.
First of all, it was only 20 seasons. Okay.
It
was from 1986 to 2006 and he didn't play in 87. And he was 124 and 142. You are correct. But his ERA plus, Matthew, was 93.
Yes, exactly. Like, you see his numbers. You're like, how did this guy last for 20 years? Anyway, I was
80s
playing.
The 90s.
What's that game
The Immaculate Grid?
Yes, I was playing Immaculate Grid, and that's where that came up. Okay, anyway, I digress. So normally we would be getting ready for our happy hour episode coming up, but now we're looking forward to opening day on Thursday. So do you know what you're drinking for opening day?
I do. I am going to drink an Orange Blossom, which is one of the new cocktails that they're going to be featuring at Oracle this year. I have never tasted it, but they did have a placard and a photo of the ingredients. So I am going to recreate that in my own way, and I will be drinking that on opening day.
Right.
Some morning day drinking.
Yes. I will be drinking an original cocktail that I'm calling Opening Day.
Whoa.
And I'm telling you right now, a little teaser, it involves Cracker Jacks.
Oh, God. I thought we were past this. We're creating a whole new podcast about the right way to build cocktails. And what is the matter? Like,
gotta be creative, Ben. You gotta zig when people zag. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's making Cracker Jack cocktails, but we're gonna give it a shot on opening day.
Zigzag gag.
It's gonna be good, man. It's gonna be good.
Soggy.
All right.
Soggy popcorn.
No. Well, there's not gonna be popcorn in it. Okay.
Don't give away
trust
the recipe now. No. Everybody's picturing soggy popcorn.
You
bring Matthew's drinking soggy popcorn on opening day.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe some peanuts floating on the bottom. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, thanks for giving us a listen. Don't forget to subscribe. We've got two baseball episodes a week starting on Thursday.
What? Yes. Keep going. I have an announcement.
Okay. We got two baseball episodes coming a week now, so subscribe so you don't miss either baseball episode. And don't forget to rate us on your podcast listener of choice. And don't forget to follow us on the socials, the platform formerly known as Twitter and Threads and Instagram and Mastodon. Just give us a follow where we will put our recipes up, and still not sure how that's going to work with the new episode, but we'll figure it out. Once a week, there's going to be some new episode, new recipes going up on social media, and follow us on the platform formerly known as Twitter, because during the season, we have lots of fun banter while they're watching the Giants. So yeah. So what were you going to say, Ben?
We are now releasing our podcast on YouTube. So if you want to start listening to us there, you can just search for Giant Cocktails Podcast on YouTube. I will put a link in the show notes when we release the show so that you can follow us there. You can leave comments there. We probably won't read them. And we
means one of us will have to actually monitor it.
We definitely won't reply to them, but you can leave comments there. And for now, we're going to leave the advertisements off, but you never know what's going to happen, because we signed an exclusive deal with the Boyer guy. So
the Bookie Bonanza. And just know that it's not video. It's just audio only.
That is right. It is an audio only podcast.
Because frankly, folks, we have faces made for audio.
We do. It's but if you like YouTube and like that program and want to use it, you can listen to us there. So, just another place to find us. We are on YouTube with an audio-only podcast. Again, search for Giant Cocktails Podcast, and you should be able to find us very easily. We're only releasing new episodes there, so our backlog is not there.
That's right. That's right. Which, it's fine, because who wants to listen to a recap of a week of a baseball game 3 years ago? So anyway, folks, that is all we got today. We will see you again on Thursday, opening day. Ben, it's been good chatting with you. Until then, my friend, cheers.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Are there any more cocktails besides the Orange Blossom, or that's just the only one that we saw, huh?
That's the only one that we saw. I think they did mention that there were others, but
Maybe an opening day. Maybe a Cracker Jack themed cocktail.
No. I don't think so. I don't think maybe. So. Maybe. But they're not gonna it's not gonna be you who made it.
No, it won't be me. Maybe one of these days the Giants will allow us to create a Giant themed cocktail for them.
I cannot imagine that they would have listened to all of our shows and they would be like, these are the guys that we want to do business with.